Hello, Stuart and Jody here at Carey Baptist Church in Moulton, and welcome to this time of worship together. I'll commit this time to God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, I pray for those who are listening online or listening on CD to this recording. I pray that by your Spirit you would speak into their lives, that you would bring a prophetic word of encouragement to them at this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our scripture reading is from 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 to 12. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 to 12. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be edified. Now, brothers and sisters, if I come to you and speak in tongues, what good will I be to you unless I bring some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or word of instruction? Even the case of lifeless things that make sounds, such as the pipe or harp, how will anyone know what tune is being played? Unless there is a distinction in the notes. Again, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? So it is with you, unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue. How will anyone know what you are saying? You will just be speaking into the air. Undoubtedly, there are all sorts of languages in the world, yet none of them is without meaning. If then I do not grasp the meaning of what someone is saying, I am a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker is a foreigner to me. So it is with you. Since you are eager for gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you would send your Spirit to help us to understand and to apply this word to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're now on the fourth of our series in Hearing God's Word, based on the book How to Hear God, A Simple Guide for Normal People by Pete Gregg, who was one of the founders of the 24/7 prayer movement and also authored the prayer course. This week we are looking at prophecy and hearing God's voice in prophecy. This can seem a bit weird and scary, as if we are called to predict the future. But it isn't about foretelling the future, but forthtelling God's truth in our own specific context. There's two words for God's word in Greek that are used here. There's logos, which is used to describe the Bible or the written word of God, or to refer to Jesus as the living word of God. And then there's a word rhema, which describes God's spoken word, living and active in prophecy. And when we refer to prophecy, that's the form of word we're looking at here. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3, it says, the one who prophesies speaks to the people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. So that is the role of prophecy here. It's for the strengthening, encouraging, and comfort of people. And then Paul compares prophecy to speaking in tongues, which is like a private prayer language. And he says in verse 5, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so the church may be edified. So here he says that speaking in tongues is something to be valued, but even more important is prophecy, which builds up not the individual, but the church community as a whole. Now, this whole area of prophecy has probably had a bit of a jaded history and can be open to abuse, because you'll get people who say that they're saying things in God's name and may use that to manipulate and control other people. Pete uses a filter, a simple filter, an ABC filter, when it replies to words of prophecy. The A stands for affirming. Does this word fulfill the criteria of 1 Corinthians 14 by being strengthening, encouraging, comforting, edifying, and upbuilding? And the B in the ABC stands for biblical. Is this word consistent with the broad teaching and witness of Scripture as a whole, and not just a specific verse taken out of context? And then the final C in the ABC is Christ-like. Is this word consistent with the character and mission of Jesus and message of Jesus? Now, it's not a foolproof filter there, but it's a good guideline to ask ourselves these questions. And sometimes we may receive a word which is challenging or disruptive, but we need to be careful before we share these things. My own experience, and I wouldn't say I'm widely experienced in this area, is sometimes, for example, at the healing service, when I'm praying for somebody, I will get an impression or a picture in my mind about the person I'm praying for. And if I feel it's right, I'll share that with them. And if it's a helpful or an encouraging word, it doesn't do any harm at all to share it. If it's more challenging or a rebuke, then you have to weigh that and sift it. And you may need to speak to someone else about it, because you might have got the wrong end of the stick, so to speak. But as a general rule, if it's something encouraging and something affirming, then you don't do any harm to share it, even if you're not 100% sure that it's from God, because there's always an element of risk with these sorts of things. Now, this might all seem a bit esoteric and out with our realm of experience, but I think that God speaks to us more often than we think, and often in ordinary ways. I remember when Jody and I were in Nicaragua working in a seminary there, and Jody asked me whether I wanted to train pastors or just to be one. And it hit me in that moment that I was missing being a pastor, and that was a step on our journey for us to return back to the UK. So sometimes just a word or a question that someone says to you can be the means by which God can speak to you. And often God can speak through us without us being aware of that at all. There's quite a humorous example in the book by Pete Gregg, and I'll share it with you. He says, I'm now in the pub with David. He's a brilliant young leader that I'm mentoring, and I'm trying to work out how to challenge him about his unhealthy intensity without being, well, too intense. There's a line going around my head about the fruit of the Holy Spirit being joy, not intensity. But David interrupts my thoughts, saying he's got something to discuss. I say, me too. And he says, you first. So I take a deep breath and decide to cut to the chase. David, you need joy in your life. He gasps and stares at me. Say that again. I think you need joy in your life. I need joy in my life. Yes, he's still staring at me. His mouth is open, but there's no sound. Pete, the thing I was wanting to discuss, he says eventually, is a girl I met online. I'm wondering if we should date, and well, I'm freaking out here because her name is Joy. David does indeed get Joy in his life. In fact, he marries her. And together, they have two beautiful children serving God today on the front lines of cross-cultural urban mission. Clearly, sometimes God speaks prophetically in spite of us, and this can be a relief. Now, Pete did not know exactly what he was saying when he mentioned the word joy, but God used him to speak powerfully and prophetically into his friend's life. We don't know how we touch other people's lives with a word of encouragement. It can make a real difference to our day. If we all sought to be more encouraging to each other, it would make a real difference to our life together as a community. We can be quick to criticize or complain about people or things. But how quick are we to encourage each other? There is another aspect of prophecy that Pete Gregg does not mention in his book, which I also think is important. And this is the prophetic role of the church and Christians in the wider society. And sometimes God raises up non-Christians to speak to issues of justice too. One example of the church being prophetic recently would be Justin Welby in his Easter sermon, where he criticized the government's policy in sending refugees to Rwanda, where he was speaking out for them. Or an example more recently of a non-Christian perhaps speaking out for justice, may not be a Christian at all, but speaking out from the right motives and God using that, would be the case of Martin Lewis, the money advisor, speaking out on behalf of those most affected by the energy price rises. And to be fair, I'm not often speak out in favor of the government, but I think it's good that the government did listen to people's concerns and have made policy changes and a U-turn in that situation. God is a God of justice, and he raises up people, Christian and non-Christian, to speak out for the poor, the weak, and the vulnerable. Or we could think about people like Greta Thunberg, who speak out on behalf of the environment and God's creation. They are also prophets in our midst. And we can be prophets and use our voices to speak out for justice, to lobby our MPs, and to speak truth to power. In verse 1 of chapter 14, Paul says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. Paul asks us to eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially prophecy, to speak the truth. And then I was thinking of the case in Numbers chapter 11, verse 29, where Moses says, and Moses replied, are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his Spirit on them. Because Joshua was complaining about Eldad and Medad, who were left in the camp and who were prophesying as if they shouldn't have been doing that. But Moses wants all God's people to be prophets and to prophesy. So we are all called to be prophets in our own way, by encouraging others and by challenging those in power to act justly and kindly. So let's pray for the gift of prophecy for ourselves. Let us pray. Father, we pray that you would make us all prophets and fill us all with your Spirit of prophecy, that we can speak out for justice, that we can bring words of encouragement and strengthening to our brothers and sisters. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let us pray now. Loving God, make us one, that the world may know Jesus Christ. Loving God, make us one with the African Christian praying for peace, with the Chinese Christian praying for freedom, with the South American Christian praying for justice, and with the Asian Christian praying for food. Unite us in faith, unite us in love. Loving God, make us one with the sick man praying for healing, with the guilt-ridden woman praying for forgiveness, with the bewildered teenager praying for guidance, with the bereaved child praying for comfort. Unite us in faith. Unite us in love. Loving God, make us one in our prayers for church unity, in our concern for the world, in our service to the community, and our witness to your love. Unite us in faith. Unite us in love. Loving God, make us one to love and care for one another, to treat each other with tolerance and respect, to learn from one another and grow together, that we may truly worship and serve you. Unite us in faith, unite us in love. And in a moment's quiet, we bring our own needs and concerns to the Lord. We pray in the name of him to whom we have been entrusted, in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our brother, and our Saviour. Amen. I'll close now with a blessing. Thursday was Ascension Day, so a blessing on the theme of Ascension. Christ our King, make us faithful and strong to do his will, and bring you to reign with him in glory. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and always. Amen. Thank you for joining with us, and go well and God bless.